You do have a really good point, though, about the underwear. I mean, they really didn't... I mean, maybe we just didn't have the mechanism by which to distribute these photographs. But it does seem like this business of female celebrities going out...
It's all for attention. There's no... unless they have something going on down there where they need to be, like, all airy. Like, the problem they're trying to fix. There's no reason to not wear underwear.
Well, even then,
maybe it's an allergy.
You wear... A fever of the crotch.
And plus, like, the rumors about Britney Spears
well,
and...
just wear an ankle... If you can't wear panties, wear a long dress of some kind. Or wear pants. Whatever happened to wearing pants? Look, I'm just saying. If you
pushers.
Well, you know, there are people who don't wear underwear. That's fine. What? I mean, I guess. I'm just saying.
They're out. They just, they want to show
it. You know who doesn't
off.
You know who doesn't wear underwear?
Who?
Never mind. Anyway, moving on. No, just kidding. I have no, I mean, some people don't. Some people, I mean, I do. I think probably the people in this room do. Some people opt not to. I'm just saying, if you're a female celebrity, and I guess I really don't want to step in the way of female celebrities inadvertently revealing private areas of their body.
That's never good.
I don't want to look like a traitor to my gender. You're right, but that's the thing. That's the whole thing about it, is I don't know how that's possible, but why does it seem... that all of the female inadvertent nudity in the celebrity world always looks unappealing. That's what I'm saying. It just seems like every time there's a, you know, so-and-so caught nude or caught topless or whatever, and then it's always a photograph that somehow ends up looking unattractive. Right. It's just not fair.
We need to get back to the days and curtains blowing in the breeze.
And covering up bed legs. Anyway, so there are a bunch of photographs of Britney Spears showing off her business, and it just seems... And again, if you really feel the need to go around...
It's a filthy business.
If you need to go around aerating your whatnot, wear something a little longer. That's my only... Everybody knows by now. There's no longer any excuse. If you go around, sort of showing off your mm-hmm, somebody's going to be there with a camera. Let's stop this. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
We'd rather hear about the snow, because it's the big ratings booster. People living above 500 feet in the Portland, Vancouver metro area woke up today with snow on the ground. Yes, flakes fell in the burbs, the West Hills, Tualatin, Hillsborough, Salem, Battle Creek, and Corbett. Why, even the St. John's Bridge was closed down, trapping residents of that area. They couldn't get in or out because of the bridge.
Trapped in St. John's. Yep. That's how the government's going to do it eventually anyway, you know. One of these days, everybody on Lombard Street is going to wake up and they're going to try to get out, and the government will have just lifted all the bridges and put a huge fence around that place, and that'll be the end of the problem.
So there can be 1 to 2 inches possible above 500 feet to 1,000 feet at some point.
So if it's snowing where you are, just keep it to yourself, I suppose. It's not snowing here, like at the Coin Tower, is it?
No, not to my knowledge.
Scotty, look out the window. Is it snowing? Remember there was a time when we had light in the studio, when we had windows, and we could look out upon nature. Those days are long gone. No, it's not snowing here. Okay.
Well, Oklahoma AAA spokesperson Chuck May says staying patient during bad weather is the key to surviving it.
I'm so thrilled and honored that you all would donate a tree.
Oh, you're on B.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's try this again. What?
This is the AAA spokesman, Chuck May, who says staying patient during bad weather is the key to surviving it.
Well, allow yourself lots of extra time. Just take
McCarthy.
It slow and take it easy. Where you get into trouble driving on ice or snow is when you accelerate rapidly, brake too suddenly, or make jerky steering maneuvers. Then you get thrown into a skid.
The other problem is when you're in your car being distracted by the same news story you've heard for 15 years in a row.
That's true. Kim Weber of the Rubber Manufacturers Association says it's time to check your tires at least once a month.
A simple way to make sure that you have the proper tread on your tires is to do the penny test. Simply take a penny and insert the penny head first into the tire groove, and if you can see all of Lincoln's head, it means it's time for a new tire.
I don't know why that strikes me as so absurd. It just does.
Well, that's a tip from the Rubber Manufacturers Association.
It also helps to replace your tires more than once every 15 years or so.
Visitors to the Seaside Aquarium this week will have a chance to glimpse 3,000 octopi. The large dark spots of the eyes of
these octopus eggs. Yes, they're hatched from eggs.
Okay.
They're difficult to see because they don't get laid all at the same time. The eggs of the babies.
Really?
Yes.
They all get laid independently?
So the eggs will not hatch all at once. About 20 or so of the 3,000 eggs have already been born, and the eggs are about the size of a grain of rice. Yes.
Because they all get laid one at a time.
The aquarium say they'll be on display for another week, maybe depending on the mother. The female octopus dies shortly after the eggs hatch, so the display will depend on how long she lives. This seems like a waste to the octopus. When she passes away, they'll take the display down.
they won't let the children come by and see the rotting, decomposing body floating.
Dead mother octopus.
Come by and see the bloating octopus floating at the top of the tank, kids. It's all part of the circle of life. What, don't the children eat the mother or something?
I don't know.
Am I thinking of something else?
No, that's a...
Where is that in nature where the... Where is that where the offspring eat the mother?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Maybe I'm just making that part up.
I thought female bees ate their mate.
No, I think you're thinking...
What am I thinking?
No, you're thinking of something else.
Well, you know what I saw on TV this morning on Good Morning Oregon?
About the plagues?
Well, they were showing this owl, and they were feeding mice to the owl live during the breakfast hour.
Really?
Yeah.
On what?
Good Day Oregon?
I think it's a big ratings booster?
Apparently so.
Tune in and watch carnivorous animals going at it while you're trying to eat your Lincoln,
I was shocked that they show that in front of the kids.
Well, you know, we had actually toyed with the idea of getting that piranha tank here.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
And then just so we could feed live things to it at listener parties. And then we sort of passed on that idea. Well, but there's a thing where somebody eats something else. And
no, I can see somebody getting caught in their headphone wires and stumbling headfirst into
that. I totally could see that. Longtime listeners will remember, though, that we actually even had the tank in the studio.
Yeah.
When we were over at Fisher, we had a huge piranha tank in the studio because there was a listener that was going to give us some piranha, and then we ended up not doing it because we thought we were going to be moving to Entercom right away, and then we were unclear about whether Entercom would want a tank full of flesh-eating creatures in the studio. But you're right, it would totally be one of those, like a Jim Carrey thing,
mm-hmm.
where somebody be like, no, let me get my coffee cup. Your foot catches on the headphone cord, your other foot slips on a banana peel,
yep.
Suddenly you go into the tank like it's a James Bond film, and the next thing you know, we come in and Scotty's skull has been picked clean by a million tiny carnivorous fish.
Mm-hmm. And then the beheaded figure is handed a release form.
are octopi fish?
An octopus is a member of the fish family, is it not?
Is there actually such a thing as a fish family?
A family of fish? A school of fish?
Okay, school of fish is not really the same.
School of rock.
Don, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. I got a question for Sarah, and I don't know why I care about this, but she's the...
You're going to fit
guru.
Right in on this show.
Pardon?
You're going to fit right in on this program.
Yeah, she's the guru of scandal sheets. This Britney thing, when she's off dancing in the nude and doing all this stuff, isn't that kind of feeding into Federline's bid to get the kids?
Do you really care this much about this story?
It just popped into my head. I don't know why I'm even calling.
Totally think that the divorce, me personally, I don't think the divorce is going to go through. I think she's spending as much time with Paris Hilton to flaunt her relationship that she's out and about, just trying to make him jealous, and then they're going to get back together. It just seems like a really, I don't think they're going to get divorced.
Is she just out there trying to show that she's...
I think she's like, look at how much fun I'm having out and about, like, you know, shaking her hoo-ha.
Well, who's watching the kids while she's out dancing with Paris Hilton?
The nanny. That's what's always the case in these celebrity couples. That's always the nanny. That's what's always.
Yeah, Kevin. I guess he could be building his case if he was actually the one at home with the kids.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he gets custody? Can you imagine waking up every day and Kevin Federline is your father? Yeah, the other kids are never going to let you hear the end of that. All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for caring along with us about mindless, useless crap, sir.
I have my head full of mindless, useless crap.
All right. Thank you.
That's my life.
All right. There you go.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you, sir. All right. Thank you. All right, here's Tim Riley.
This story is still going on a week after it happened. How often does that happen? It's former Seinfeld actor Michael Richards continuing to apologize for his racial remarks at a comedy club. Speaking yesterday on the Reverend Jesse Jackson syndicated radio show, Who Knew We Had One?
We should air that.
Richards personally apologized to some audience members.
And there are more, but I just have Frank McBride and Kyle Doss. And I can say now to them, I am very, very sorry and hope to meet with them.
It's over.
And get started with a bit of healing.
No, it's done.
No, that wound is wide open.
not time
for healing yet.
So it's time for you to go away. There really ought to be like some Nepalese village where celebrities like this can just, you know, so when you are him or you're Mel Gibson, you know, anybody, that you just go there and you live there for like 20 years and we kind of forget about the whole thing. Everybody comes to this nostalgic about Seinfeld and then we agree to move on. Just go live with Roman Polanski for a while.
Why doesn't he give him the gift box set of the Seinfeld episodes?
Yes.
Season
10. He should totally. That's exactly what he should do. Please, dear sir, sorry you are offended. Please to be receiving this Season 7 DVD with commentary and extras. Yours truly. Thanks for all the support, Michael Richards. That's a great idea. Okay. Let's see. Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, an octopus isn't a fish. It's called a cephalopod.
Listen to the seething contempt. Listen to the low-grade loathing in his voice.
Hey, what?
It's a what?
It's a cephalopod. It means a head-footed. It applies to cuttlefish, which are... They look kind of like squid, except they swim forward.
Who would be cuddling an octopus?
So what? I don't understand. So a cephalopod means what?
Head-footed.
Head-footed?
Cephalo, head, pod, foot.
Yeah, but, okay.
Because most cephalopods swim backwards with the legs trailing behind them.
All right, so they're not fish is what you're saying.
High squid.
Are you sure that they leave, that they lay eggs?
Yes.
Okay, so the story isn't making that
millions.
Part of... All right.
Millions and millions and millions. They're mollusks.
And millions.
Under the larger thing, along with the snails and whatnot.
Is it necessary for the mother octopus to die upon giving birth to her offspring?
Do they feed on the mother octopus's corpse?
Octopus usually don't. Octopuses, or octopi, generally leave the area immediately after giving birth. In some cases, I think there are some species that will defend the area, but generally the species that will feed on the mother's corpse are usually arthropods, like insects or spiders.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, no!
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, you have a good one.
You as well, Kevin.
I feel enlightened.
I really do. I think Kevin has found mommy Salmonex. Here's Tim Riley.
British health officials say several people have been sent for radiological tests who may have been exposed to that former Russian spy in London who died from radiation poisoning last week. Sky News reporter Mark White is at Scotland Yard. He says about 450 people have come forward claiming they were exposed to Alexander Litvinenko.
Three of those people are now being treated for symptoms which the health department here say is compatible with exposure to radiation.
You know, the best thing about that story is that it was apparently not only did they, did they got him with some radiation, but it was not even like, they didn't even have to inject it. It was like a death spray.
Yeah.
It was some sort of a, look over there. You know, and then some horrible Banaka spray, but it was filled with plutonium or something. Those Russians don't screw around, man. You don't want to
cross. They know how to kill.
Remind me to ask Lisa Goddard about that at 2 o'clock. Lisa Goddard, Russian spy. Really, when they are sort of like the FedEx of, I mean, when you absolutely positively need somebody dead like in a day and a half, you ask the Russians to do it. Okay.
Many have come forward saying they were in the same vicinity of the dead spy.
The fact is, these are people that either ate in the restaurant that Mr. Litvinenko visited on the day he was poisoned, or in the hotel visited on the day he was poisoned, or who may have come into contact with him at another time.
Yeah, the Russians, they don't screw around with, like, waterboarding you and, like, you know, keeping you awake in a brightly lit room. They just go ahead and inject radiation right into your nose.
There's no one left to complain.
It's true. Yes, Scotty, Scotty is noting that the mother octopus leaves the babies behind to fin for themselves. Yes, thank you. Brian, except they don't have fins. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Rick. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back, Sarah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you bet. Hey, so, Rick, I'm also a mailman out here shoveling the crap to the people, as it were.
You got a positive attitude about it. Yes.
No. It's all good. It's really good crap. But on the cover of the National Enquirer, I believe it is, that we had in the mail today.
I've got it in my hand.
You saw the pictures.
Yeah, now, are you talking about the Steve Irwin pictures?
Yes.
Now, are these, but I haven't bothered, I haven't actually read these yet. I wonder if they're real or if they're artist depictions.
Well, of course, I'm not allowed to look inside anybody's mail because that would be wrong and illegal. However,
of course.
if one were to fall open to page, oh, I don't know, about the middle.
Yes, yes.
Yes, and I work in St. John's. No, I don't. Then you would actually, it looks real to me, my friend. It looks like video clips, stills from the video, and you can see what looks to be like an 8 or 9 inch white barb sticking out of his chest.
Cranky. All right. Well, good God. Okay, well, we'll get to those like next hour or something. But thank you for the heads up, sir.
You're quite welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you, Brian. There you go. Thank you. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
A Vancouver family of six who were missing Saturday after heading into Mount Hood Forest and chopped down a Christmas tree have been found. The Sheriff's Department searched the snowy area of Lost Lake and Lolo Pass.
Doesn't it seem like going to a place called Lost Lake is just asking for trouble?
And they found it.
I camped in Lost Lake before.
Really?
Yeah, it's beautiful, but it is like in the middle of nowhere.
Let's go cut down
some Christmas trees there.
I did not see Christmas trees, but the lake is completely clear. You can see all the way down to the bottom. It's really pretty.
Nice. I think if you're spending time with your family at a place called Lost Lake, you forfeit your right to complain with something. Let's go cut down some trees at Death Ridge.
Meanwhile, Mrs. Bush says, hey, look at my Christmas tree. She has received the official White House tree. Mrs. Bush offered her appreciation to those who donated the 18-foot tree from a Christmas tree farm in Pennsylvania.
I'm so thrilled and honored that you all would donate a tree to the White House this season. Thank you all very, very much.
I'm dressed in the skin of small children.
In Gresham, a man dies after being beaten over the head with a beer bottle. He was 27 years old. Augustin Joaquin Francisco was assaulted early Saturday on Yamhill Street, somewhere between 190th and 194th, in the Yamhill Neighborhood Park. He was taken to Gresham Urgent Care. They said he was beat over the head with a beer bottle. He was later moved to Emmanuel, where he died on Sunday.
You can't kill somebody by hitting him in the head with a beer bottle.
You can in Gresham if you try hard enough.
What is he, have like a real, I mean, I give you got some kind of eggshell skull going on? I mean, the beer bottles are very... If you were going to beat somebody...
Maybe it's an import.
It was a hearty German beer. It seems like if you were... I'm just speculating now. I am not a scientist. But I'm just saying that it seems like if you hit somebody hard enough to kill them, by definition, you'd only be able to hit them once because the beer bottle would just break. You know what I mean? I mean, your skull is harder than glass is.
But I've seen some of those, like... bottles when they inaugurate a ship, and sometimes they don't work. It
bounces right off.
Right. Well, it's one of those deals.
All right.
Meanwhile, a man is recovering from injuries after being hit in the head with a gumball machine. The 27-year-old man was beaten with a gumball machine after a fight broke out during a birthday party at a Mexican restaurant in California. The Monterey Herald says investigators believe the attack could be gang-related. The man was assaulted by several people with a gumball machine. None of the partygoers who went to the birthday party are cooperating with the investigation.
Assaulting somebody with a gumball machine really requires teamwork, though. That's a group effort because you got to those things. First of all, there's always like five of them that are all welded together. And secondly, they're always chained down to the ground. We're talking about the gumball like you put the quarter and you turn the knob and the thing comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have one guy holding the guy down and the other person is a lookout, like three guys to lift the gumball machine, one person to coordinate the swinging. That really is just, that's the sort of, you know, all working on the same page that you don't see a lot in today's youth.
Boys are clearly different than girls. Says Counselor Steve Talbot from the Strong Families Conference of Texas.
Oh, God.
Talbot says boys prefer to take action first.
We want to solve the problem. We don't want to feel it. We want to solve it. Then afterwards, we can deal with the feeling.
We're not spending all our time thinking about kittens and panties.
Boys have far fewer words at their disposal than the ladies.
When we talk with them, we're going to talk more in a, you know, tell me what this looks like. How would I recognize this if I could see you doing it kinds of talk. Stay away from the feelings talk. And if you use too many words, you lost them.
Scotty, we found the place for you to send your children.
Texas. Boys in Texas are filled with testosterone, which makes them more aggressive. But aggression is not the same as violence in Texas.
The way we look at aggression, I always want to hook the word competitiveness to it. It's about energy. It's about drive. It's about success. It's about physical energy as well as emotional energy. Violence is where we want to go out and hurt somebody.
Okay, that's creepy. Let's just take a break here, shall we? We'll come back. Nick will tell us how you can kill somebody with a beer bottle. Tim Riley returns at the Ministry of Truth. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop? No, Lisa Goddard. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. Oh, Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Rick, when I heard the promo for the Christmas in the Northwest charity CD, I had to check the website to verify that, yes, its lineup actually includes Kevin Thornton of Color Me Bad. This CD also includes a rousing version of Winter Wonderland by Kenny G. Thought you'd like to know. Thanks, Carl.
Hey, I have, like, the first three albums of Christmas in the Northwest, and that's what we
really?
Listen to every Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Is that true? I never even, I'm not knocking it. I've never even heard of it.
That is my Christmas album, the original Christmas in the Northwest. We listen to it every year.
Who's on it?
I don't know, all kinds of, like, Tim Noah and...
Just like, are these all musicians
from the
Northwest? The
Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
The Trans-Siberian Orchestra, man, I wish I'd thought of that. That's some crap that I wish I'd gotten in. And when I say crap, I mean, I don't mean crap like it's bad. I'm just saying I own, what, three different records by those guys? That's just,
oh, really?
Of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, every guy who is my age, every guy who is 33 years old, and at one point, if you are a 30-something white guy who at one point had a mullet, you own something by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Because it's the first... It was such an obvious idea. The idea that they would take Christmas songs and then do them like sort of metal style. I mean, it was such an obvious. It's sort of the Mannheim steamroller, you know, for my generation. It's just a great idea. I wish I thought of that. Laura and I went to New York a couple years ago for Christmas, and we were gonna see them live, and then we never did. But yeah, that's so. It's not just Northwest people though.
It's not. But a lot of the songs are about, like, Northwest. And it has, like, Riley and Maloney, and it has people covering, like, Joni Mitchell and stuff. It is so good.
And a guy from Color Me Bad. All right.
That's my soft spot because that's
what
I listen to every
year. Fair enough. Well, now, see, now I want to hear it. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend from ClydeLewis.com, the host of the Ground Zero Lounge. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Clyde Lewis, hello, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Stick around Zero Lounge.
Lingerie.
How can I help you, brother? What's up? What's going on in your life?
Oh, so many things going on in the world that it's just impossible to keep track. I tell you, there's some things going on that we're trying to draw some lines and some very interesting, I guess, parallels. You know, there are a lot of watershed events that have happened in our lifetimes. Where, you know, things that happen, it just changes the course of human history. And one of them, of course, was 9/11. And of course, before that was, you know, Princess Diana's death and Oklahoma City and all those things, you know, going back in time. And so what we're doing now is we're kind of talking, we're going to talk about that. Last week I did a very important Ground Zero Lounge where we brought it. Bruce Burgess, who was a documentary producer that I met in Los Angeles, we had dinner together, and he went to France to investigate the claims of all these people who, you know, say the Da Vinci Code, you know the stuff in the Da Vinci Code, some of it's real, some of it's fiction, and some of the things we revealed to the audience last week were really heavy, and I admit that, because we had some footage that we basically, I guess you could say, lifted kindly so that we could show it to the audience last week. Yeah, go ahead.
Nothing. Go ahead.
Anyway, so we did that, and it basically we came right out and said, actually, these guys in France came right out and said that at a place called Renly Chateau, which is this hidden place where the Knights Templar hung out or whatever, there are the bodies of Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene buried there.
That sounds plausible.
Which is pretty creepy. I mean, they had these guys on film, French intelligence, a number of other people saying that this is something that the Vatican knows about, and that something's about to happen with the Vatican that is going to be a monumentous or watershed event that I've talked about before, where I've been saying many times that the only way that the church can protect itself is to team up with other churches and to basically become a huge empire.
To form together like Voltron into one big super church?
Exactly. And so many people don't know this, but the Pope is, well, a lot of people do know that the Pope's going to Turkey. And he's supposed to be meeting with Bartholomew of the Orthodox Church, and he's going to be meeting with the Archbishop of Canterbury. Well, it was in the paper just yesterday that the reason why this is happening is because the Pope wants to extend an ecumenical brotherhood between the churches so that they can become a major church to fight against the evil that is happening in the world. Well, the strange part is that he is going to Turkey, but a lot of people worry that he may be killed there.
Is the Pope a reptile?
No.
Okay. Well, you act like it's out of the like it's inconceivable somehow.
No, he's not a reptile.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to get at is that what is happening is something that is going to be a major event, and if And if the Pope makes it out of Turkey, then something will, it'll all change. But there's a prophecy called the Prophecies of Malachi, and you can look this up. It's M-A-L-A-C-H-Y, that is predicted, I guess, 12 popes throughout history. And three of the popes were John Paul I, John Paul II, and a pope that they called the Glory of the Olivet, which was, of course, the Benedictine Pope.
Of course.
Well, now we have Pope Benedict, which is, you know, and the Glory of Olivet is the glory of the olive tree. Well, I was watching the news today, and it said the Pope Benedict was going to offer an olive branch to these churches and to the Turkish government because of what he said about the Muslims. And there's actually a book out right now that's a big seller in Turkey called Who Will Kill the Pope? And so this all strange stuff is happening, and it's happening so fast, and they are going to put him in a bulletproof vest. They're getting rid of the Pope Mobile. They're going to put him in some...
The Pope Mobile's the best thing. I can't believe they're getting rid of that.
Oh, they're going to get rid of it for this because it's not going to protect him.
Oh, the Pope Mobile's great. It's like he's in one of those claw-based vending machines or something.
Right. What I'm getting at, yes, though, is that we're perhaps on the verge of a watershed event with all the things I talked about last week and the stuff I'm talking about this week. And so be prepared, because there's something called the Right of the Divine King. There was a movie out right now called The Queen, and I don't know if anybody's seen it yet.
Oh, yeah, Tim was talking about that.
But it's all about Princess Diana's death, and RFK's out, which is all about Robert Kennedy's death. And it's all about all these divine kings or these divine people that have been taken out of our lives for to change the events of the world. And it's kind of like a conditioning process that we're all in this mindset for. A lot of people worried when the assassination of the president came out, that movie that showed President Bush being assassinated. So this is all in the minds of people. It's in the public zeitgeist. And that's the strange part, is that with all that going on and with all that ritualizing of the idea, something has got to give. And that's the worry right now that a lot of people have in the world. And so I'm going to try and put it into perspective tonight at Dante's Lounge. And hopefully we'll be able to, you know, come up with some things. I have Dr. Larry Johns with me, who is a theological, he's a doctor of theology, and he'll be talking about the implications and what that will mean for the world if this takes place.
More importantly, you should know that we're now 4 days past Thanksgiving, and the studio still smells of burger cake.
Oh, that's good.
Just so you know.
It still smells of burger cake.
I don't think you were here for the best moment on Thanksgiving, because you had come in, and there was the big thing of Romulan ale,
yeah,
and many bottles of wine, and then you and Aaron and Kristen were here, and you... Now, were those potatoes that you'd put on top, or was that gravy?
Mashed potatoes and gravy with cheese-infused onions, fried onions.
Now, I thought you were going to infuse the bun with gravy.
We were thinking about ways to make it more practical. We didn't infuse the bun with gravy, but we did hollow out the bun so that we could fit more potatoes and gravy in the burger cake.
But here, you missed the best moment. So on Thanksgiving, you guys had created the burger cake, and you had served it here on the news desk.
Mm-hmm.
And so then later, we had all kind of eaten our fill of the burger cake, and moving on to other things. We'd moved it out of the hallway. And Tim came in and was reading his news at like 2:30 or so, and there was, you know, Tim is a vegan, and so he was just horrified by the whole thing, and there was this great moment where he put his hand down to pick up a piece of news, and apparently the counter was just covered in burger cake leavings. And it was like he had just put his hand into a vat of toxic sludge of some kind, where he put it down and sort of, oh my God, I'm covered in burger cake, it's all over the counter, and then he just ran for the, and I don't think we ever saw him again.
I was wondering if you were ever going to put the pictures of the burger cake on your website.
They're on my phone.
Oh, okay, yeah.
On my phone, I got to get them posted. You're right.
We can see how big the burger cake is. And another event that's coming up is the Rose and Raindrop Overnighter. They're calling it Clyde's Spooky Sleepover. That's what Sadie Gregg calls it. You're going to go over to the Rose and Raindrop on the 2nd. We're getting together around 10 or 11 o'clock at night, you know, have some food, some drink, and then I'm going to do drawings. And we're charging $5 a couple for a lottery to be a part of our investigation that's going to be going on from 1 a.m. until 6 a.m., and we're going to be overnight at the Rose and Raindrop, a haunted place, former funeral home, and we're going to be putting up cameras and taking down data, putting it into computers, writing whatever experiences people are having. It's going to be an amazing event. I mean, it may not, you know, yield anything, but the past seance we did on Halloween yielded a lot of interesting stuff. And so,
but Sarah, look at this photo of the burger cake. Look at that.
I can't really tell the perspective, but that looks
pretty
big.
It's huge. It's the largest burger cake ever made.
it fill up this entire counter?
It really did. I mean, it was huge. It's massive. Look at that. It's like, and that's not forced perspective. That's just, it's just that
big. You should have put like a coffee cup or something next to it so I could tell
get a sense
a little
of the
bit
scale.
Better. Exactly.
All right.
It was huge, and it also broke the...
It did. It broke the plate at one point. They tried to lift it, and the plate snapped in half. The burger cake weighed too much. All right, so it gets underway tonight at 8 o'clock at 8
o'clock
Dante's.
And then I want to remind everybody the Rose and Raindrop situation. Come on by. They're going to be closing it down on the 31st, so you should at least patronize the place a lot. But come on by, you know, have some fun, and you know, also enter into our lottery so you can be a part of the investigation. This is going to be historical for most people because our last one was huge. This is an even more interesting event because we're going to be bringing in cameras. We're hoping to bring in infrared and heat-sensitive materials so we can see if anything's moving around, and also more tours of the basement, and all that stuff is going to be going on that night.
Cool.
So be sure and come by. There will be posters up at the Rose and Raindrop soon. We'll have flyers tonight. Spread all the word. Come on by. And even if you don't get into the investigation, you can still come and have fun with all of us. But
cool. All right,
we'll see what we can do with
that. ClydeLewis.com for all the details. And tonight, the Ground Zero Lounge at Dante's.
Exactly.
Cool. Thank you, man. Creator of Burger Kick, Clyde Lewis. There you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let us now resume Tim Riley's broadcast from the Ministry of Truth.
Guess what the number one movie was over the weekend?
Was it the animated penguin thing again?
It certainly was. Happy Feet, $37 million. Number two, God. Casino Royale, $31 million. And Bobby debuts at number nine with $4.9 million.
Oh, we're sorry.
Don't say we didn't warn you.
No, we were talking about this on Friday because Scott Daly came in and was doing his official Film Fever radio review, and we all said that this is the same thing, that the piece of crap. Okay, I wasn't really going to say that. Damn, I wasn't really going to characterize it quite so harshly. I was going to say that the parts were better than the whole. That's what I was going to say. Is it was less than the sum of its parts. There were great performances, a couple moments I really liked. All in all, a movie that really not. But nobody's
I like
gonna,
the speech at the end.
No, I like all the parts that Emilio Estevez had no role in. I like all the things that were real that existed before the film was ever made. Nobody's going to remember the movie a year from now. That's the thing. It's just, I mean, you know, some decent thing. Joshua Jackson was good. He was dreamy. It's just the movie itself is a whole lot of nothing to me. All right.
Then they had those other holiday movies that didn't do well. Deck the Halls, number four. The Santa Claus 3, number 6.
I'm amazed that Santa Claus 3 movie is at number 6. I mean, really, this is...
But people have no taste.
Well, it's... And the thing is, the ultimate proof of the wisdom of marketing to children. We ought to just have, like, a 10-minute segment of the show that literally is actually just for the children. Because the thing you realize is that parents don't really care about exposing their kids to anything quality. It's just... They'll just take whatever's out there. If it's for children, they'll take their kids. Think about all of the crap that your parents drug you to see, all of the horrible movies, the bad food, the terrible television shows that you were exposed to growing up simply because they were kid-friendly. And your parents don't really think about whether they're good or not.
Right, it's 2 hours out of the house where they're not gnawing on the furniture legs.
Totally. That's exactly what it is. You know what it is? All of these movies like Santa Claus 3! You take children now! The thing about Santa Claus 3... It's like that video cassette they sell for your cat, where it's just like a shiny thing bouncing around the screen and like a mouse going or whatever for like 2 hours. And you just put it there and your cat's supposed to watch the screen. That's what all of these are. Tim Allen is the VHS cassette for your cats.
Meanwhile, Pamela Anderson has filed for divorce from Kid Rock after less than 6 months of marriage.
I thought they got married a long time ago.
No. And they seem to be together forever.
Yeah, they really have been together because she was on that Christmas special he did like in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Let's see. Her spokesperson says Anderson recently suffered a miscarriage.
Oh. So, I don't really know that Kid Rock needs to be having any more kids.
No. Apparently, something in Australia made Elton John sick to his stomach 2 hours into a performance in Brisbane.
Soccer team.
The legendary rocker was about to perform Crocodile Rock. Like he's... when he fell ill at the stage.
God
and most
in.
Of the people in the audience also were.
Really, the hand of providence was...
He told the crowd of 15,000 it was better for him to throw up in the toilet than over in the front row.
God, I mean, you want to be horrified? Read his autobiography. He gives a detailed explanation of his days as a bulimic. Really, that'll put you off eating for a while. Hearing Elton John describe in gruesome detail what he would eat and then his preferred foods to throw up because they were soft on his throat.
All right. Let's go back and do A again.
Let's go back and do
A. Some fresh ones.
Fantastic.
The latest from your government, talking isn't a policy. That's how a State Department spokesman Sean McCormick responds to speculation that the U.S. will pursue an aggressive dialogue with Iran and Syria to try to find a way out of Iraq.
There are a lot of different ways to communicate
to people.
With Iran, a lot of different ways to communicate with Syria. But at the moment, I'm not going to try to prejudge the outcome.
We're going to communicate with our fists. That's how we're going to do it. How about gift certificates from Subway? That'll please everyone.
McCormick is also pressed about a reported pending recommendation on reducing U.S. troop levels in Iraq.
The president has said that we are committed to the Iraqi government, to the Iraqi people, and that our troop levels are going to be determined by what the commanders say, and the commanders are going to take a look at what the conditions on the ground are.
It isn't Tony Snow, is it?
No, this is some fellow named McCormick.
So this is who Tony Snow sends out when even he can't stomach it?
Right. Despite the raging violence, McCormick rejected the use of the words civil war.
That is not what we're not seeing in Iraq right now, the civil war. And as I pointed out, that is not the judgment of Prime Minister Maliki. It's not the judgment of our government.
A civil war would be the blue against the gray.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
NBC News has branded the Iraq conflict a civil war, a decision that puts it at odds with the White House and one that analyzes this whole thing. NBC said on the Today Show, from now on, it's going to be called a civil war. Meanwhile, it looks like the Bush twins are being asked to leave. What's that country again?
Argentina.
Before it's time. Amid a growing barrage of front page headlines, they have strongly suggested the Bush twins, even the good one, cut short their trip to Buenos Aires because of security issues. And according to sources, the U.S. Embassy encouraged the two girls to cut their stay short. But to the dismay and anger of the U.S. Embassy and staff, the girls refused to leave. Thursday night, an ABC News producer was able to walk right into the hotel unchecked and engage Barbara Bush in a conversation while she checked her email on a computer in the lobby. Jenna sat talking with friends on a sofa nearby. No Secret Service agents were anywhere to be seen.
God, don't the Bush twins just look like... I mean, look. I gotta say that they just put off a bitchy vibe. I don't know. I'm not saying I don't know them. I don't know anything about them. All I'm saying, you look at those girls and they just look like the kind of chicks that are going to be hard to handle. You got to know that that's the worst secret. Guarding the president has got to be less stressful than that. Mm-hmm. Because you know that they're just after getting into all manner of trouble. I mean, say what you want about Chelsea Clinton, but I mean, she was never, when the Bush twins won everything, they were always getting caught boozing and like passing out in frat houses.
That's them, yes.
Whatever the hell it is. And you know that they only invite the ugly one so that the pretty one will come along. That's it's gotta be what is her what's the ugly one's name?
There's Barbara and then there's the other one.
Barbara
Clarice. So.
Hilda.
Let me see. I'm not sure her name is ever printed. Let me look here.
Oh, Bertha.
Jenna.
Oh yeah. Okay.
What kind of a name is that?
Yeah, and it's funny how the ugly one's got the porn star name, mm-hmm. and then the hot one, who in fact does look, as I've noted many times, not unlike porn star Brandi Taylor, is named after Barbara Bush, the grandmother, who, and by the way, Futurama fans will note this. Have you ever noticed how much mom of Mom's Friendly Robot Company on Futurama looks like Barbara Bush? Or perhaps now deceased former governor of Texas, Ann Richards? You will notice this the next time you watch. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for Cannibal Watch.
Here's the Cannibal Watch. Just in time for lunch.
A 57-year-old man who killed his girlfriend 27 years ago and ate her body parts is being allowed out on an overnight release.
He's probably
despite old. Doctors saying he's still dangerous.
Oh.
The man was convicted in 1979 of killing his partner. He cut up her body, dumped some parts of the harbor in Malmo, wherever that is, and ate the rest with a glass of wine. He has now been granted an extra 24-hour release every week by the county administrative court and spends several nights in his apartment in Malmo. The man's doctor wrote an opinion 2 years ago that he is fundamentally the same person he was when he committed the murder, despite the fact he's acquired a pleasant and polished surface. The man lacks empathy, but is very intelligent. He was 31 years old at the time he committed the murder. He was found guilty and put in under institutional care. The police initially arrested the man on suspicion of theft. Hundreds of books belonging to his mother and Malmo Public Library were found in his apartment. But in a later visit to that same apartment, police also uncovered packs of meat wrapped in fabric in a refrigerator.
Oh.
And it turned out to be human flesh.
Oh, and they weren't even wrapped in foil. He was just like wrapping them in old clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Where are your socks? I need to put my girlfriend's spleen in the freezer.
He confessed during questioning he killed his girlfriend. The reason he gave police was that her friendly manners were tiresome. Doctors say the man has an extremely good memory and could easily kill a person 20 years after an assault.
I think that there's a few things you ought to do that just sort of result. There are some activities which I think, you know, after which you should just be asked to get out of the pool forever. I think once you've eaten somebody and stored bits of her body in the refrigerator for later eating, I think that that's a bit of a, that's a little bit of an irreversible crime. I think that's kind of a, that falls into the one strike category. That's like those, and the best part is whenever they find somebody like this where it's not just the heart simmering in the saucepan or the skull being used as some sort of a soup tureen. Mm-hmm. The best part is when you find the carefully cut and then wrapped up packets of meat, because that always indicates that that guy's been wandering through the neighborhood sharing his exciting new venison with the neighbors. Not unlike now, Sarah was in Wisconsin over the weekend, home of Ed Gein, America's greatest killer.
And I did eat a lot of venison.
That's what I'm, so did Ed Gein's neighbors.
Oh.
They did, and there was a lot of, well, Ed came by and gave us some funny tasting meat. It always seemed a little strange. And gristly.
Oh, Nate's dad has his own
gamey.
Oh, Nate's dad has his own food processor, so he can make all this jerky, and like he made jerky sticks and like flat pieces of it.
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, he wear like an off kilter hunting cap and a lot of plaid.
No, he did not.
They ever have a barn he didn't let you go into? All right, there's your cannibal watch for whatever the Monday.
Monday.
Right, thank you.
Tim Riley. Well, here's still another Kramer story. In a desperate effort to salvage what's left of his poisoned reputation, a shattered Michael Richards told Reverend Jesse Jackson that he loves black people. Adding that some of his best friends are African Americans.
Did he really say that?
He said that, yes.
Oh.
Interviewed on Jackson's Keeping Hope Alive radio show on Sunday. I don't think that's on anymore.
I have no idea where you would even hear that program.
I know. We've never received free things from the...
They never... I'm a little...
Baseball caps, t-shirts.
I have never received a coffee mug. I've got like 900 coffee mugs from the Fox Sports Radio Network.
Yep.
I have never received anything from the Jesse Jackson Radio Network.
Apparently this is called Keeping Hope Alive. It's on Sunday. The former Seinfeld star again claimed he harbors no racist feelings toward black people and blamed his racist diatribe on months of pent-up rage that has no color. He explained that he should have recognized his problem when his frustration with hecklers started affecting his comedy routine. It's rough and tumble, he claimed. I've been noticing how aggressive my work has been getting.
Yeah, we've all noticed that, too.
Richards was convinced that the problem has deeper roots. Telling Richards, you use the word, well, the N-word, and then the lynching scene. Have you been there before? Richards responded, no, 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 no.
If you ever, can we all agree that if you ever find yourself talking to either Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson at this point in your career, it can only, you really, that is the largest indicator that you've taken several wrong turns. There's really no good reason to end up there. Footage, and this we got right, we teased this at the top of the show. Footage has surfaced of comedian Michael Richards dressed up as a black man in blackface.
I hope he wasn't singing Mammy.
Where is that? We have a story about somebody singing Mammy somewhere.
I do.
Mammy! That we have somebody. I don't think they were singing it. I think they were just saying it, though.
Well,
yeah, footage has surfaced. God, I mean. At this point, God is just kicking this guy in the teeth. Footage has surfaced of Michael Richards dressed as a black man, including blackface, in a movie called Whoops Apocalypse, a 1986 comedy that takes place the week before Doomsday. So there you go.
So that's the second story you're asking.
That's apparently on the internet. Oh, and then I'll just read this as part of the Michael Richards thing.
Yes.
Golden Beach official accused of racially insensitive remark. This is from Florida.
Florida.
How did you know?
Because you said this is from Florida, and then you took like 10 seconds.
A complaint that its town manager used a slavery term to refer to her black assistant has prompted Golden Beach to launch an investigation of somebody or other. Bonnellan blah blah blah, who is white, called Barbara blah blah blah, who is not.
Look at this now.
Look at the snow. My bike is parked outside.
It's snowing where we are.
It's snowing where you are?
Oh, crap.
I've got to go down
Scotty
and get my bike.
I'm surprised you didn't notice.
Oh, Scotty, you gotta let us know about these things.
Here outside the coin tower.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm so excited.
Okay, well, to celebrate our new snowfall. Well, I'll get to the rest of the story later.
This is much too exciting. Look at the snow. How are people going to get home?
Ooh. I'm glad I drove today.
The stars are brightly shining.
You guys don't mind if my bike sleeps in here with me?
There's plenty of room in the lobby now.
Well, I'll tell you what, because we're running, let's come back and we'll continue the news here in this next segment. Roll a little more news here because Clyde talked for like 45 minutes.
And but he's always informative.
I love Clyde. No, don't get me wrong. I love Clyde, but he really did push us drastically behind. Yes?
Nothing.
You have a look on your face.
No, I'm just noticing how more and more of Clyde's conspiracy theories have to do with movies that are coming out.
Yeah.
That's all.
All right. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with more of Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Oh, and I'll talk about my new plan to become fat. What else? And we got it's a plan well in motion. It's already underway. I've shown amazing skill at it so far. What Lisa Goddard later on? We'll ask your help in punishing a member of the Rick Emerson audience. Stay there. It's snowing where we are. It's the Rick Emerson Show live on Monday. You stay right here. Don't go anywhere.